Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. This is Carnita Smith with Mission from the Heart Radio, and we are in studio again, my sister, friend, believer in Christ Jesus, Kathy White, and we are going to continue in the ministry of Jesus recorded by Luke. This is a wonderful teaching series. If you have not listened to the previous broadcast of this teaching series, we're in part 5 today. And if you haven't heard the previous parts, I encourage you to go back and listen to them. You can just put in the broadcast link in your browser, and that's www.blogtalkradio.com/heart-to-heart, and that's heart, the number 2, heart, M-F-T-H, M like Mary, F like Frank, T like Tom, H like Henry, meaning Mission from the Heart. And just put that link in your browser and click on the previous broadcasts to catch up and bring you up to date. But also read your scripture verbatim. Just read it chapter per chapter so that you can see the hand and the movement of God in the ministry of Jesus Christ as we go through chapter by chapter recorded by Luke. So Minister Kathy has been giving us a summary of each chapter in these teaching series, and so it has just been such a blessing to listen to the reading of the scripture and its summary, and then I come right along behind her and I give a life's application of each chapter. So this has been the format of this teaching series, and we have been riding tandem together, just coming on one accord and just watching the hand of God move through our hearts as he lays the pages down for us through scripture. So come ready, willing, and able to hear a word from God as we move through his ministry, and just take some rich notes as you are prompted by the Holy Spirit, because there is something that he wants you to learn, that he wants you to apply, and of course that he wants you to share. Now, as I've said in the previous teaching series, every birth is a miracle and every child is a gift from God. But nearly 20 centuries ago, there was the miracle of miracles. I tell you, a baby was born, but Son of God. The Gospels tell of the birth of Jesus Christ. But Dr. Luke, as though he was the attending physician, provides most of the details surrounding this awesome occasion. With divine father and human mother, Jesus entered history, God in the flesh. And I hope you didn't miss that, God in the flesh. So from an infant who could not do anything on his own, Jesus grew to become completely able to fulfill his and earn what we have been going through recorded by Luke. His mission, his missionary work through the scripture or through the book or gospel of Luke. He was fully human, developing in all ways like us. He developed fully human, yet he remained fully God. Hallelujah. He took no shortcuts and was not isolated from the pressures and temptations of life. And there no shortcuts for us either as we prepare our life for service of God. So keep in mind, my brothers and sisters, that this walk, this journey as a believer in Christ Jesus is well worth it at all costs. And it will cost you something, as we will see in the scripture. So we are going to just come right and ready to move through the pages. So I'm going to have my co-host, Minister Kathy White, to come in on mic and just lead us in a small prayer or a short prayer, and then we're just going to work right through these chapters, focusing on chapter 9 and chapter 10 in the ministry of Jesus recorded by Luke. Minister Kathy?
Thank you so much again for having me. Let's pray. Most gracious God, our Father, we thank you for this time in study today with you. We pray, Father, that you would anoint us, anoint our ears so that we might hear, but not only that, anoint us so that we might be doers of your word. We bless you now for our time and study with you. Have your way. Be glorified. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. All right, guys, if you will, grab your Bibles and just follow along with me. We're going to start in Luke chapter 9, and we're going to look at how Jesus feeds the 5,000. We're going to look at him having called the 12 to ministry. We're going to look at just a number of things in Luke chapter 9. So here we go, chapter 9. Jesus had called the 12 and gave them power, authority over all demons to heal diseases. Jesus sent them to proclaim the kingdom of God and to perform healing. Jesus instructs them to take nothing for your journey, neither staff, nor bag, nor bread, nor money, and do not take even two tunics apiece with you. Jesus tells them that whatever house you enter, stay there until you leave that city. He tells them, for those who do not receive you as you go about that city, take the dust off your feet as a testimony against them. As the disciples parted, they began going throughout the villages, preaching the gospel and healing everywhere. Herod the Tetrarch had heard what was happening, and he was perplexed because he had heard that some had said that John had risen from the dead. Others said that Elijah had appeared, and others said that one of the prophets of old had risen. Herod said, I had John beheaded, but who is the man about whom I hear such things? Herod kept trying to see Jesus. When the apostles returned to Jesus, they gave an account of him for all the things that they had done. Jesus then took them with him and withdrew to Bethsaida. The crowds followed them. Jesus spoke to them about the kingdom of God and cured those who needed healing. As the days were ending, the 12 came to Jesus and asked him to send the crowd away so that they could go to the surrounding villages and countryside and find lodging and get something to eat. Jesus said to his 12 disciples, you give them something to eat. The disciples told Jesus that, we have no more than 5 loaves and 2 fish unless we go and buy food for all these people. There were about 5,000 men. Jesus tells the disciples to have them sit down to eat in groups of about 50. And the disciples did just as Jesus had told them. Jesus then took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, looked up to heaven. He blessed them and he broke them and kept giving them to the disciples to set before the people. They all ate and were satisfied. The broken pieces that were left were picked up was 12 baskets full. While Jesus was praying alone, the disciples were with him, and Jesus asked them, who do the people say that I am? They answered, some say that you're John the Baptist, others Elijah, and others say that you are one of the prophets who has risen again. Jesus asked them, well, who do you say that I am? Peter answered, the Christ of God. Jesus warned them and instructed them not to tell anyone, saying that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed and be raised up on the third day. Jesus then tells them, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it. But whosoever loses his life for my sake, he is the one who will save it. For what profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul. And whosoever is ashamed of me and my words, the Son of Man will be ashamed of him when he comes to his glory and the glory of the Father and of the holy angels. But I say to you truthfully that there are some of those standing here who will not taste death until they see the kingdom of God. After 8 days, Jesus saying these things, he took along Peter, John, and James and went to a mountain to pray. While Jesus was praying, the appearance of his face became different, and his clothing became white and gleaming. And behold, two men were walking with Jesus. They were Moses and Elijah, who were speaking of Jesus' departure, which he was about to accomplish in Jerusalem. Peter and his companions had been overcome by sleep, but now they were full awake. They saw his glory and the two men standing with Jesus. As the two men were leaving Jesus, Peter said to Jesus, "It is good for us to be here. Let us make three tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah," not realizing what he was saying. While Peter was talking, a cloud formed and began to overshadow them. They were afraid as they entered the cloud. Then a voice came out of the cloud saying, "This is my son, my chosen one. Listen to him." And when the voice had spoken, Jesus was found alone. The disciples kept silent and reported to no one in those days what they had seen. On the next day, they came down from the mountain, and a large crowd met Jesus. The crowd shouted, "Teacher, I beg you to look at my son. He is my only boy." And a spirit seizes him, and he suddenly screams, and it throws him into a convulsion with foaming at the mouth, and only with difficulty does it leave him, mauling him as it leaves. The man tells Jesus that he begged the disciples to cast it out, but they couldn't do it. Jesus said, "You unbelieving and perverted generation, how long will I be with you and put up with you? Bring your son to me." While the man was bringing his son to Jesus, the demon slammed him to the ground and threw him into a convulsion. Jesus rebuked the unclean spirit, healed the boy, and gave him back to his father. They were amazed at the greatness of God. Jesus said to disciples, "Let these words sink into your ears, for the Son of Man is going to be delivered into the hands of man." The disciples didn't understand this statement. It was withheld from them, and they were afraid to ask Jesus about the statement. An argument started among the disciples as to which one of them might be the greatest. Jesus knew what they were thinking in their heads and took a child and stood him by his side. Jesus said to them, "Whoever receives this child in my name receives me, and whoever receives me receives him who sent me. For the one who is the least among all of you is the one who is great." John then said to Jesus, "Master, we saw someone casting demons in your name, and we tried to prevent him because he does not follow along with us." When the days were approaching Jesus' ascension, he was determined to get to Jerusalem. Jesus sent messengers ahead of him. They entered a village of Samaritans to make arrangements for him. They did not receive Jesus. When James and John saw this, they said, "Lord, do you want us to command fire to come down from heaven and to consume them?" Jesus rebuked them and said to them, "You do not know what kind of spirit you are of." In verse 56, it says, For the Son of Man did not come to destroy man's lives, but to save them." They went on to another village. And as they were traveling to another village, someone said to Jesus, "I will follow you wherever you go." Jesus said in return, "The foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." To another, "Follow me." But he said, "Lord, permit me to go and to bury my father." Jesus said to him, "Allow the dead to bury their dead. But as for you, go and proclaim everywhere the kingdom of God." And another said to Jesus, "I will follow you, but first permit me to say goodbye to those at home." Jesus said to him, "No one, after putting his hand to the plow, looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God." Wow. That concludes our summary of chapter 9. Now, will you please take out your pencil and your paper and get prepared for the life application that Minister Carnita is going to come and share now. There's lots and lots and lots that the Lord would have us know about chapter 9 and how to live our lives. Minister Carnita?
Amen. Amen. Thank you, my sister, for just being the instrument of God. And so now let's look at these scriptures, the verses, in tidbits. I like to think of it in that sense. There's so much in scripture that we could be here for months on end in the book of Luke, talking about Jesus's ministry for days, because it's so rich, my brothers and sisters. So, but I just want to do little snippets, if you will, of how we can see some of the things that Jesus wanted them to see, and also how to apply what we need to apply as brothers and sisters in Christ in our life or walk today. So as we look at chapter 9, and we're going to go and we're going to look at the verses 1 through 6. Verses 1 through 6, but not rereading them in their entirety. I want to just read verse 1. And the life application point today is, if you want to make notes, I encourage you to do so. But the life application point 1 is Christ equips the called. Christ equips the called. And that covers verses 1 through 6. Now, the second point is Christ enables the called. Verses 7 through 17.
Sister Carnita, can I just jump in one quick bit?
Sure, go right ahead.
I love the fact that you, what you talked about in verses 1 through 6. Jesus gives us, as disciples, power and authority. That's what you're talking about in verses 1 through 6. That power means he gives us the ability to accomplish a task. And so anytime that we're going through something in life, we ought to pray and ask God to allow us to manifest his power in our lives. But then not only that, he gives us authority. And that authority is to do the right thing. There again, y'all, in application, we have to pray that even as we seek to do those things that God has called us to, we have to pray for power and authority. Minister Carnita?
Amen, amen. And that is a well-mentioned point, that we have to pray. And this is what Christ demonstrated throughout his ministry. And so focusing on verse 1, let's just pull that out, and I'm going to read it. And it says this. And I'm going to read it in my translation of the Amplified Translation. And it reads this way. Now Jesus called together 12 disciples and gave them the right to exercise power and authority over all the demons and to heal diseases. He called the 12. And let's read now. Walk with me slowly because I'm going to be doing some moving around, but just keep up if you can. And if you can't, just make note of the scriptures, additional scriptures. Reading verse 1, the 12, let's read your 6, verses 12 and 13. So let's go back to chapter 6. And we'll read 12 and 13. And this is what it says. Now, at this time, Jesus went off to the mountain to pray, and he spent the whole night in prayer to God. Now, this is what Minister Kathy was saying. We need to exemplify what Jesus did as a habit of his, as a love language to his Father, if you want to look at it as well. But when day came, he called disciples and selected 12 of them, whom he also named apostles, special messengers, personally chosen representatives. When I looked at my commentary in scripture and Bible, I seem to learn to meet from that as well. I encourage you to read your footnotes and you can continue to and go in grace. In general usage, the word apostle means or messenger. And you, over your growth spurts in your spiritual growth, but again, apostle means sent messenger. And so I just wanted to make the emphasis that Jesus chose them in chapter 6, and we see in verse 1 of chapter 9. Go back to chapter 9, and after all night in prayer, and read in prayer to God, talking about Jesus, he called and chose, selected 12 of them. Who? And so, now, again, special messengers sent out, apostles, and Jesus equipped them, gave, is what he did, equipped them, gave. The Lord will also, or has actually also done the same for you and I. The Lord will never send us out to do what he's called us to do without giving us what we need. That is trust, according to Proverbs 3, verses 4 and 6. Familiar that most of us may know, and there may be a few of us who may not know. But that benefit, let's probably be starting at 4. Do not let mercy and kindness, truth, leave you. And let these qualities define you. Bind them securely around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. So find favor and high esteem in sight of God and man. Verse 5. Trust in and rely confidently on the Lord all your heart. Do not rely on your own insight or understanding. Verse 6, in all your ways, know and acknowledge and recognize him, and he will make your path straight and smooth, removing obstacles that block your way. Encouraging to me, and I pray that it is encouraging to you, that he will make our paths straight and smooth. So again, we are to completely trust him because he is the one who equips us. Let's look at Psalms 37, if you will. Move over to the Psalms, and we're going to look at 37 and read verse 3. According to David, trust, rely on, and have confidence. We're told this in the Lord, and do not, in the Lord, and do good is what. Trust in the Lord and do good. Rely on and have confidence in the land, feed securely on his faithfulness. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires and petitions of your heart. And verse 5, commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him, also, and he will do. Now, these are encouraging passages for us as believers. We are to trust him and believe. And let's move, let's look at verse 57 in chapter 9, verse 57. So move down to verses 57, and I'm going to read that. And it reads this way. As they were traveling on the road, someone said to him, I will follow you wherever you go. Jesus told him, foxes have dens and birds of the sky have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. Then he said to another, follow me. Lord, he said, first let me go bury my father. But he told him, let the dead bury their own dead. But you go and spread the news of the kingdom of God. Another said, I will follow you, Lord, but first let me go and say goodbye to those at my house. But Jesus said to him, no one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. Now, I bring these out for us to see that it is important for us to stay focused as believers in Christ Jesus, that we are to be about his business. And this is what tells them in those verses. And let's to solidify that, let's look at John 6. Now, again, I'm moving through scripture as we should, but make note of John chapter 6, and we're going to look at verse 59, and it reads. Now, I'm back in the Amplified translation. He said these things in a synagogue while he was teaching in Capernaum. When many of his disciples heard this, they said, this is a difficult and harsh and offensive statement. Listen to it. But Jesus, aware of his disciples, were complaining about it to him. Does this cause you to stumble and take offense? What then will you think if you see the Son of Man ascending to the realm where he was before? It is the spirit who gives life. The flesh conveys no benefit. It is of no account. The words I have spoken to you are spirit and life, providing eternal life. But still, there are some of you who do not believe. There's the word right there in verse 4. But still, there are some of you who do not believe and have faith. For Jesus knew from the beginning who did not believe and who would betray him. And he was saying, this is the reason why I have told you that no one can come to me unless it has been granted him. That is, unless he is enabled to do so by the Father. And so I'm going to stop there, but just wanted to emphasize that verse 64, but still there are some of you who do not believe and have faith. Now, let's move over to Luke chapter 14. Luke 14, we're moving ahead, but verse 25. Now, large crowds were going along with Jesus, and he turned and said to them, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, and even his own life in the sense of indifference to or relative disregard for them in comparison with his attitude toward God. Now, that is a mouthful, but listen to it carefully. In the sense of indifference to or regard for them in comparison with his attitude toward God. He cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not carry his own cross, expressing a willingness to endure whatever may come and follow after me, believing in me. There it is. Believing in me, in verse 27, conforming to my example in living and, if need be, suffering or perhaps dying because of faith in me, cannot be my disciple. In which one of you, when he wants to build a watchtower for his guards, does not first sit down and calculate the cost to see if he has enough to finish it? Otherwise, then he has laid a foundation and is unable to finish the building. All who see it will begin to ridicule him. And this man began to build and was not able to finish. Verse 31, or what king will, when he sits or sets out to meet another king in battle, will not first sit down and consider whether he is strong enough with 10,000 men to encounter the one who is coming against him with 20,000. Or else, if he feels he is not powerful enough while the other king is still a far distance away, he sends an envoy and asks for terms of peace. So then, none of you can be my disciple who does not carefully consider the cost and then, for my sake, give up all his possessions. In 33, the cost to love Jesus more than we love our own family members. It costs us something. Commitment to him. It costs, which involves holding loosely material things in this world. The material things of this world, possessions, money, family, titles, and a plethora of sorts. We are to be salty saints. Salty saints, according to verses 34 and 35 in Luke 34 and 35. And I believe we read that in chapter 9. In verses 34, salty saints is what I like to call it, but for the benefit of hearing, verse 34, it states, getting a little ahead of myself, but it reads this way. Even as he was saying this, a cloud formed and began to overshadow them, and they were greatly afraid as they entered the cloud. And then a voice came out of the cloud saying, "This is my beloved son, my chosen one. Listen and obey and yield him." This is what we are to do as believers in Christ Jesus. We are to listen, we are to obey, and we are to be salty enough to make a difference in the life of someone. Meaning we would need to bring them into Christ in the way of salvation. Now, this is just what I wanted to show how the Lord God equips us to be salty saints, for us to always be in position and know that it's going to cost us something. Christ enables us as well, as we see that in these verses 7 through 17. And just want to pull out in 13 and 16, it reads how he enables the called. 13 and 16. You give them something to eat, he told them, talking about the disciples. We have no more than 5 loaves and 2 fish, they said, unless we go and buy food for all these people. 1,000 men were there. Then he told the disciples, have them to sit down in groups of about 50 each. They did so and had them all to sit down. 16, then he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and looking up to heaven, he blessed and broke them. He kept giving them to the disciples to set before the crowd. Christ enabled the disciples to continue to give to the crowd. Sometimes our mess becomes our message. We are in a mess of things. Our miracle becomes our message, our testimony of what the Lord has done in our lives. These become our message. We can be like the apostles trying to handle our mess without prayer. As Sister Kathy said, we need to be in prayer at all times. We can be like the apostles trying to handle this situation with what? Bread, 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, and all they saw was a disaster. How are we going to handle this? This is becoming a hot mess for us. We've got way too many mouths compared to the amount of bread and fish to feed them. So we could be like that, trying to handle our mess without prayer first. And what makes sense, handling it from that angle or that perspective, reminding us of Proverbs 3, verses 4 and 6. Lean not to our own understanding, but in all our ways acknowledge him, and he will direct our path. We are his true worshipers, according to John 4, verses 21 through 24. And I want us to look at John 4, 21 through 24. And for the benefit of the translation, I'm going to read that in the New Living Translation, verse 21. Jesus replied, believe me, dear woman, the time is coming when it will no longer be, and this is the Samaritan woman at the well, believe me, dear woman, the time is coming when it will no longer matter whether you worship the Father on this mountain or in Jerusalem. You Samaritans know about the one you worship, while Jews know all about him, for salvation comes through the Jews. The time is coming, indeed, it's here now, when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. The Father is looking for those who will worship him that way. Verse 24, for God is spirit, so those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. So don't miss that, my brother. If you've been half-hearted or just kind of playing with God or just being somewhat fake to a sense, worship him in spirit and in truth. according to Scripture. He knows the inside of us. He knows the outside of us. He knows every part of us. And it is for, meaning he gets the glory from us. Our mess becomes our message. Our miracles in our life become a testimony of God. And Christ encourages the call through verses 18 through 36. I'm going to pull 20 out and read it, still in chapter 9, verse 20. But you, he asked them, who do you say that I am? Peter answered, God's Messiah. This is what Peter answered. Christ encourages the call through prayer. Here's that again. Through prayer to the Most High God, to the Most High God, and our confession of faith in Christ, like Peter, our lifestyle, our speech, our thoughts, our mind should always reflect Christ alone. And this was an encouragement to me as well. Let's look at Matthew 7:16. Matthew 7:16, and then we will conclude this particular chapter. Matthew 7:16. And it reads, you can identify them by their fruit, that is, by the way they act. Can you pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? A good tree produces good fruit, and a bad tree produces bad fruit. So the question is, what kind of fruit are you producing, my brothers and sisters? Are you producing fruit that continues to produce good fruit? Keep that in mind. Again, to always reflect Christ, to live a Christ-like life, as Paul said it in Philippians 1, verse 20, 21, to live is Christ, but to die is gain. And so these are just some life apps that I wanted to bring out to show how we are to know that we are enabled by the one who enables us. And we are encouragers. We are encouraged as the call through prayer to the Most High God. Now, we are going to move right into Luke chapter 10, and Minister Kathy, I'm going to give it over to you so you can through the pages.
Thank you so much. Here we are, y'all, at Luke chapter 10. Let's begin. After that, Jesus appointed 70 others and sent them in pairs ahead of him to every city where he was going. In verse 2 of that same chapter 10, Jesus says to them, the harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Therefore, beseech the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Jesus then gives the 70 instructions. He says, go, behold, I send you out as lambs in the midst of wolves. Carry no money belt, no bag, no shoes, and greet no one on the way. Whatever house you enter, first say, peace be to this house. And if a man of peace is there, your peace will rest on him. But if not, it will return to you. Jesus instructs them to stay in the house, eating and drinking what they have given, what they've been given. For the laborer is worthy of his wages. Jesus says, do not keep moving from house to house. In verse 8 and 9, Jesus tells the 70, whatever city you enter and they receive you, eat what is set before you and heal those who are in it who are sick and say to them, the kingdom of God has come near to you. Jesus then says to them, but whatever city you enter and they do not receive you, go out into the streets and say, in verse 11, y'all, even the dust of the city clings to our feet. We wipe it off in protest against you. Yet be sure of this, that the kingdom of God has come near. Jesus then tells the 70 in verse 12, I say to you, it will be more tolerable in that day for Sodom than for that city. Woe to Gerizim, Tyre, and Sidon, which occurred in you. They would have repented long ago, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. But it will be more tolerable in Tyre and Sidon in the judgment than for you. And you, Capernaum, will not be exalted to heaven, will you? You will be brought down to Hades. Jesus says in verse 16, the one who listens to them listens to me, and the one who rejects them rejects me, and he who rejects me rejects the one who has sent me. The 70 went on about their way, and then they returned back to Jesus with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to your name, to us in your name. Jesus said to them in verse 18, I was watching Satan fall from heaven like lightning. Jesus then tells them that he has given them the authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing will injure you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are recorded in heaven. Time, Jesus rejoiced greatly in the Holy Spirit and said, I praise you, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and intelligent and have revealed them to the infant. Yes, Father, for this way was well pleased in your sight. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one who knows the Son is exempt from the Father, and the Father who is except, and the Father is except the Son, and to anyone to whom the Son wills to reveal him. Jesus then turns to the disciples and says privately in verses 23 and 24, blessed are the eyes of you which see things that you see, for I say to you that many prophets and kings wished to see the things which you see and did not see them, and to hear the things which you hear and did not hear them. A lawyer then stands up and puts Jesus to the test, saying, teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus then says back to him, what's written in the law? How does it read to you? The lawyer answered Jesus and said, you should love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. Jesus then says to that lawyer, you've answered correctly. Do this and you will live. But wishing to justify himself, the lawyer says to Jesus, well, who is my neighbor? Jesus then replies in verse 30 and says, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among robbers, and they stripped him and beat him and went away, leaving him half dead. And by chance, a priest was coming down the road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. A Levite also came to that place and saw the man and passed by on the other side as well. But a Samaritan who was on a journey came upon the man, and when he saw him, he felt compassion and came to the man and bandaged up his wounds, pouring oil and wine on them. And he put him on his beast and brought him to an inn and took care of him. On the next day, the Samaritan took 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper and said, take care of him, and whatever more you spend when I return, I will repay you. Then Jesus asked the lawyer, he said, which of these 3 do you think proved to be the neighbor to the man who fell in the hands of the robbers? The lawyer says to Jesus, the one who showed mercy toward him. Then Jesus said to him, go and do the same. Jesus continues his travels, and he enters a village. A woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. Martha had a sister named Mary, who was seated at the Lord's feet, listening to his word. Martha was distracted with all of the preparations and came to Jesus and said, Lord, Do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the serving alone? Tell her to help me, the Lord says in verses 41 and 42. Martha, you are worried and bothered about so many things, but only one thing is necessary. For Martha has chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away from her. That concludes our chapter 10. Again, I want to encourage you to grab your pencils and your pad so that you might be prepared for the life application that God is going to share with us through Minister Carnita. Minister Carnita?
Amen, amen, amen. I tell you, the scripture reading comes alive, my brothers and sisters, when we see and hear the word of God just taking shape. So we're going to look at some points in chapter 10 and extract out of this particular chapter. I want us to focus on verse. Before we continue, I just want us to stop, drop, and pray a prayer of salvation. I just believe that we cannot just assume that every listener to this broadcast is a believer in Christ Jesus or has accepted Christ as their Lord and Savior. This is what Jesus was getting them to understand, trying to get them to understand. This is what Jesus exemplified in his ministry, that he is the way, he is the truth, and he is the light. So I'm going to ask Minister Kathy if she would lead us in a prayer of salvation, that you would come to know him and know that you have the confidence in knowing that your name will be written in heaven. Minister Kathy?
Thank you so much. You know, guys, we get to be a part of those who he calls when we get to be in relationship with him. So if you will pray this prayer with me and enter into relationship with Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior, then he will place a call on your life that you too can go out and share the gospel. Will you pray with me? Pray these words as I pray them. God, I confess that I am a sinner. I need Jesus to come into my life. God, forgive me of my sin. I believe that Jesus died for me, and I believe that he rose to give me life. I pray now, God, and ask Jesus to come into my life. I ask Jesus to be my Lord and to be my Savior. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now, if you prayed this prayer, not about feelings, but it's about the fact that you've done as God has instructed us and asked Jesus Christ to be the Lord and Savior of your life. Get in a church, get in a Bible study, get in the Word so that you too can begin to grow in the faith and grow closer to Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Sister Carnita?
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You have done the most wonderful thing, beautiful thing, and that is accepting Jesus Christ as your Redeemer, as your Savior. So, yes, this is a joy, and this is an excitement. You know, the Lord set this day aside for you to say yes to him, and this is what he wanted all of us to do. This is what he shows us in Scripture. So let's continue to look at the Scripture in chapter 10. And so as called, we have to be willing to serve, verses 2 and 3 in chapter 10, and I will reread them quickly. He told them, the harvest is abundant, but the workers are few. Therefore, pray to the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into his harvest. Now go, I am sending you out like lambs among wolves. So the 70 were appointed, and we can also read this in Matthew 28, verses 16 through 20. So make note of that, and I encourage you to read that passage, Matthew chapter 28, verse 16 through 20, commissioned or sent by Christ to go. Just as he did with the 12 in Mark chapter 6, verse 7 through 13, I'll say it again, Mark chapter 6, 7 through 13. He does this with us today. Romans 5, verses 1 through 5, offering the message of peace with God through faith in Jesus Christ. We just extended Christ to those who accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior. He does this with us today. He gave them specific instructions in verse 4 and 7 in chapter 10. For those who welcomed in verses 8 and 9, and those who did not repent of their sins, woe to you. Those who did not repent or welcome, woe to you. In verses 10, 13, and 16 in chapter 10. Believers in Christ, our work, life, can seem as though led to slaughter, or also known as the wolves in verse 3. Acts chapter 20, 28 through 30, make note, John 10, verses 12 through 18, Matthew chapter 7, verse 15, and Matthew chapter 10, verse 16. Read those in your private study time. As we know, greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world, according to 1 John chapter 4, verses 1 through 6. Don't miss that. Greater is he, capital H-E, who is in me, you, us, than he, lowercase H-E, who is in the world. The ministry work, sharing the gospel, can be difficult, my brothers and sisters, and dangerous. But it is also very rewarding, eternally speaking. Obedient to his call with a servant's heart. This is what we are to do, to be obedient to his call on our lives with a servant's heart. And we saw that. We are to be willing to rejoice, reading verse 20 in chapter 10. Verse 20, it says, however, don't rejoice that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Everyone who confesses that they are a sinner and they've accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior today, you are on your way to heaven and your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life in heaven. So, we are to be willing to rejoice. As Jesus told the 70, the 70 seemed to be rejoicing about the wrong focus, meaning missing the point of focus. Christ had to realign their joy focus, says, look, I have given you the authority. If you notice what he said, what they said in 17, it says, in 17, the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, I can just imagine their joy, their excitement. Lord, even the demons submit to us. Uh-oh. They said us. They submit to us in your name. That's the wrong focus. And Jesus said to them, I, is what he said, I watched Satan fall from heaven like a lightning flash. Don't miss that, my brothers and sisters. Jesus saying, I again, I have given you, who? You, the 70, the authority to trample on snakes and scorpions.
and over all the power of the enemy. Nothing will ever harm you. And then verse 20, however, don't rejoice. Now he's telling them, realign, focus on who gave to you. Don't rejoice that the spirits submit to you, not you, my brothers and sisters. It wasn't them. It was Christ. Christ and Christ alone. But rejoice that your name is written in heaven. That's our focus. Not what the demons did, not how they scurried off into where they went, or not how they dismissed them. They were dismissed from the sick. But it is that we stay focused on who gave them the power to do with what they did. Jesus tells them, us, to rejoice because we are citizens of heaven. After all, our work may not always be successful now, but our salvation will never, ever change. The Lord rejoices because the will of the Father is being accomplished in our lives. That's why he rejoiced, according to verse 24. For I tell you that many prophets and kings wanted to see the things you see, yet didn't see them. To hear the things you have heard, yet didn't hear them. Jesus says that we are to rejoice because of the will your joy focused on. Keep that in mind, my brothers and sisters. Keep your mind focused on who empowers us. Make note of 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 25. Let me restate that. 1 Peter chapter 1, 3 through 25. We are willing to take a pause, and we should be willing to listen. Taking a pause, what do I mean by that? Take a pause. We pass on as they did with the Good Samaritan, as they did with the hurting man in verses 25 through 37. Do we do this as brothers and sisters in Christ? Do we pass by, such as the priest and the Levite? Do we just pass them by? Do we just turn our eyes and not be bothered with the one? Or do we stop and pause and feed the hungry? Do we help clothe the naked? Do we render services to orphans or widows within our church? Do we do that with our own brothers and sisters in Christ? Make note of Matthew 25, verses 31 through 46, and also James 1, verse 27. Again, that's Matthew 25, verses 31 through 46, and James 1, 27. We are to render help. That's a servant's heart. We are to show love to our neighbor, compassion for the one of the least of these, mercy toward the rejected, the hated, the bothersome. We as children of light are to do this. It does cost us something, as I stated. Think about it. Our time, resources, money, food, talent, the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, according to Galatians 5, verses 22 through 23. Do not look for a way of escape in doing these things. We are to extend our services, our time, our talents, our efforts, our financial means, whatever it takes to help the brethren and the sistering in the body of Christ. Because when we do it to the least, we have done it to Christ. So always be willing to be a listener as Mary was at the feet of Jesus. So then her sister, Martha, worrying about chores that need to be done. Mary chose what was good for her soul. Do we set aside time to listen to what Christ has to say to us in our day-to-day work, in our day-to-day going and coming in our life? Do we sit at his feet and hear his word? This is the discipline for his call. This is the ministry of our heart as his children. This is the expectation, disciple. Spend time with him. Don't become so busy, my brothers and sisters, doing busy work that you have no time to sit at his feet and listen. So this brings us to the end of this broadcast today. And I hope you have received something through the reading of the scripture by Minister Kathy and a life application nugget by way of myself. I pray that you continue to be where Mary was, and that is at his feet, in his word, hearing and serving. Always remember, my brothers and sisters, that the grass withers and the flowers, they fade season after season. But the word of God, as we know today, will remain as a ministry to your heart, my heart, our heart, as brothers and sisters in Christ forever and ever. God bless you. Stay rich in the word, and we will meet again on Mission from the Heart.